Hello, storytellers and creatives, and welcome to season one, episode one of the Write Script podcast. And today we're going to be talking about The Handmaid's Tale, which is a Hulu original series. And let me just say first and foremost that I finished watching the pilot episode of it earlier today, and the entire time I had chills. And I'm so serious when I say this. There wasn't a moment within the entire episode where I wasn't on edge, apprehensive, you know, just nervous and anxious, you know what I mean? Because the writers of that show really set the tone for the environment, what was at stake, the rules of the world, how men and women are treated, how there's different levels in society at this point. And for those of you who don't know, The Handmaid's Tale is a story about how a fanatic religious group takes over the United States, and, you know, that's the best way I can describe them. They take religion to a whole new level. Like, they take the term overzealous to the extreme, right? And there's this woman in the very beginning, we see them, they're driving down the road, and you can tell they're being chased. The man is driving, his wife and his daughter are in the back seat, and they're just on edge. They're freaking out, like, okay, we gotta get away, we gotta get safe, we gotta be, you know, we gotta go toward the woods. But then the car speeds off the road, and they're stuck in this ditch. So now they have nowhere to go, no vehicle, and they're like sitting ducks at this point, right? So now the husband and wife realize at that point that they have to split up. And at that point, he's like, okay, you take the baby, go into the woods, you know, just run, keep running, don't look back, just run, right? And that's the last time they see each other. And you can tell that they're a loving couple. They, you know, they love each other. They have their daughter, Hannah, and they just want to get somewhere safe. So he's up there by the car, and they're going into the woods. And just when we think she's about to get captured, she's like, okay, sigh of relief. We're hiding underneath this tree, this wooden thing. We're okay. And then suddenly they spot her, and then that is the beginning of life as she knows it. And what I liked about it is that it was told in a very non-linear manner. It wasn't told where it showed everything in chronological order. It showed Offred, which really isn't her real name, but we'll get to that later on. It showed Offred in her new life as a handmaid. And what that means is she's nothing more than the woman that bears children for the powerful men of that society, because their wives are fertile and can't do it. Or should I say not fertile? They're not fertile and they can't do it. So the next best thing is to have, you know, these handmaids come in, and their job is strictly to be a breeder for these prestigious people of society. And they did a really good job. The writers did a really good job with creating the story world, because you can tell that, of course, the handmaids are miserable, but so are the Marthas. And the Marthas are the servants of the house. So they're responsible for doing all the grocery shopping, along with the handmaids, the cooking, the cleaning, the traditional household chores, right? And then you have the wives of these prestigious men. And you would think, okay, the wives don't really have to do anything crazy. Maybe they're actually happy in this world, and they're not. It's far from the truth. Like, every single woman in that society is totally miserable, because they're told where to go. There's almost no laughter. The things of yesteryear are gone. And once they're in that world, it's all about the greater good. It's all about keeping that society going. I mean, it's literally like they're hogs going into slaughter. I mean, I hate to use that phrase, but it really is. And what was very telling was when Offred went to the commander's house, because that was her post. They all have different posts that they go to. They all have different areas they go to, depending on which family they're assigned to bear children for that married couple. And Offred ended up getting sent to a very powerful commander worldwide. Everyone knows his name. And his wife, you know, they seem to have the perfect life. They seem to have the best traditional setup, but they don't. Because you also have to think about the backstory of it. The fact that they have to have a handmaid in the first place is because the wives cannot bear children for their husbands naturally. So now they have to look to these women dressed in red cloaks and bonnets and all that stuff to give them the children that they want to keep the family lineage going. And you can tell that the commander's wife, let me get her name. I took a couple of notes. The commander's wife's name is Serena Joy. And once Offred meets her, you can just tell that Serena Joy is miserable. And another scene that was very revealing about how miserable she currently is was after the commander got done, you know, having sex with Offred in order to, you know, bear a child. And, you know, it's not what people think it is. It wasn't enjoyable for anybody. You can tell by the expressions on their faces that they're just getting used up and they're not able to voice their opinion. They're not able to run away. They're not able to have a voice. They're pretty much reduced to nothing. And after the commander left, Offred kind of, you know, tried to make small talk with the wife. And mind you, the wife was in the room the whole time this was happening. So it's not like she gets to go into another room and be like, okay, I know what's going on in there, but at least I don't have to see it. No, they have to see their husbands with another man. I mean, well, their husbands with the wife. I know, I totally butchered that. They have to see their husbands with another woman, I meant to say. Forgive me. They have to see their husbands with another woman, and they pretty much, you know, they can't do anything about it, because you have to remember, in their society, it's looked at as shameful if you can't give children to your husband. So imagine how the wives feel. The wives probably feel like they've failed as a woman because they can't do the one thing that's associated with womanhood, which is to create life, right? And when Offred tries to make small talk, the wife doesn't want to hear it. She's like, you know, get away from me, just go. And Offred's like, oh, but I heard, you know, if you sit on your back afterwards, it helps. And she's like, no, just get away from me, go. And another thing to remember about this society is, even among the handmaids, there's a lot of dissension there too, because nobody is really your friend in this society. There was one scene that really stood out to me, and it also showed the rules of that world, that handmaids cannot walk anywhere alone, even if it's to the store, to church, to anywhere like that, they can't. They always have to walk in twos. And the real sinister reason behind that is so somebody is always watching you. they always have a spy watching them, and they refer to that as the eye, meaning there's always an extra eye watching you. There's always somebody listening to your conversations, watching your every move. So in reality, you really don't have friends there. You really don't have a confidant. And in the beginning, Offred's, I guess you could say buddy or whatever, quote unquote, you know, I'm being facetious with it, Offglen, who is played by Alexis Bledel from Gilmore Girls. That kind of surprised me. I didn't know she was still acting. But anyway, Offglen is another handmaid. And in the very beginning, it's easy to automatically hate her because she seems like she's just totally immersed in this world. She's totally on board with everything, being a handmaid, conforming to everything. But in reality, she's just as miserable as the rest of the handmaids. And toward the end of the episode, when Offred and Offglen walk back to their houses, Offglen reveals to her, you know, I had a life before this, you know, I was a lesbian. I had a son with my wife, you know, his name's Oliver, he's 5 years old. And then Offred is like, yeah, I had a husband and an 8-year-old daughter. And I lost them. My husband's dead, but I think my daughter's still alive. And that is what Offred's core wound is, being separated from her baby. Because back when things were normal, before the religious extremist group took over the United States, Offred and her best friend Moira were talking about Offred's pregnancy with Hannah, her daughter. And in the beginning, Offred was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to carry this baby to term. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I don't know if I'm really going to be able to really be a mother. So it wasn't like it was an easy thing for her to get pregnant at all. So she was half worried the whole time that there was going to be a miscarriage, or that there was going to be some health crisis, or that something was going to go wrong. And to have her daughter snatched from her due to this religious extremist group is even worse, because she made it through the pregnancy. She made it through what she thought was the worst, but now she never imagined that her daughter would literally be ripped from her arms by strangers, right? And Moira is like comforting her, like, you know, be careful, you know, you'll be fine. You're gonna carry the baby to term. And Offred's like, I don't know. I don't think I am. And keep in mind, that was when things were quote unquote normal, right? And that moment when Offred and Offglen actually connect with one another and talk about their past before their lives were utterly destroyed is when they finally get to see each other for the first time. And Offglen's dialogue was very telling, and this is what I always talk about when it comes to subtext. Offglen says to her, it was nice to finally meet you. Because think about it, the handmaids are not allowed to react to anything. They're not allowed to show any type of emotion. Even if they're having a bad day, they're not supposed to show it, or else they'll get disciplined. They're not allowed to show anger or any form of rebellion or difference of opinion, or else they will get tortured and sent to the colonies, where they'll pick up waste, they'll get hurt, like all this stuff, right? And there was also a moment where Offred was coming in for the first time into that world, into the new initiation to become a handmaid. And this is where we see one of the greatest antagonists I think I've seen in a while, Aunt Lydia. Don't let the seemingly cheerful name fool you. Aunt Lydia evil wouldn't even do her justice. Like, calling her evil and a radical extremist, like, I'm trying to find a stronger word, but I just can't, you know what I mean? But that moment when she was saying, "You ladies are so lucky, you get to breed for these commanders," and everything like that, it's like, huh? You know? And they're brainwashing them, telling them that, you know, your sole purpose here is to breed for a commander, for somebody who's not even your husband. You're supposed to help these men that have, you know, wives that aren't fertile and who can't bear children. So you guys are the guinea pigs that we're using. It's like, what? Am I in the Twilight Zone here? Like, I'm telling you, the whole time I was watching this episode, I had chills up and down my spine, on my arms. I had goosebumps. It was almost like, you know, when you see a bad car wreck, it was like a bad car wreck. You know, you just can't turn away. That's how it was. It was just crazy. I mean, I don't know, crazy doesn't even do it justice. And then there was another instance where Aunt Lydia had another handmaiden, or handmaid, sorry, in the center of the room with all the other handmaids around her. And apparently this particular handmaid in the middle of the room had gotten raped, right? But the narrative that Aunt Lydia was trying to spin was that it was her fault. And she was getting all the other handmaids to say, yeah, it's her fault, her fault, her fault. And this is what cults are made of, you know? Brainwash people. Don't allow them to have their own thoughts. Let them, or not even let them, make them think like you, threaten them with physical pain, take away what they love the most, and they will conform. Basic psychology right there, right? And we see Offred, and Offred knows from jump that this is wrong, and she doesn't want to say it's her fault, because deep down Offred knows, like, hey, wait a minute, why are we shaming this victim? She got raped through no fault of her own. She wasn't asking for it. And then Aunt Lydia is going towards Offred like, you better say it's her fault or else you're going to have hell to pay. Like, she doesn't say it verbatim, but her face says it all. And I mean, it's just, I mean, this whole concept, very interesting concept. There's a lot to work with. And let me segue back into the importance of a core wound. A core wound is super, super important because it allows you to give your character something to fight for. If they don't have anything to fight for that's bigger than them or themselves, they won't do it. And with Offred, she's fighting to stay alive so that one day she'll be reunited with her daughter, Hannah. And that is what is keeping her going right now. And that's why I always tell you guys, like on Instagram or in my one-on-one sessions with you guys for screenwriting lessons and everything like that, make sure your character, above all else, wants, needs, or desires something. Because if they have nothing they want, or they don't desire or need anything, you have absolutely no story. But the fact that she's a mother who has been separated from her child by the government, oh my god, like, that gives her everything to fight for, because that's her baby girl. That's her Hannah. It's bad enough they already killed her husband, so she's a widow. It's bad enough that her best friend Moira is dead, so she really has no real ally until maybe the end. And I say maybe because, you know, in this society, it's so easy for people to turn on each other. And even though Offglen revealed to her, you know, be very careful, there's an eye in your house, meaning in the commander's house, somebody is watching everyone's every move, Why? So they can report it to Aunt Lydia and the powers that be. Everyone loves a good snitch, right? Now the question is, who is the snitch? And towards the very end, or not even towards, at the very end, we finally learn what Offred's real name was back when everything was normal. Remember, in that world, taken over by religious extremists, her name is Offred. But in her world as she knows it, her real name is June. And that's how they ended the pilot. And I think that was a strong way to end it, because it showed that, you know, it's a psychological warfare that they're doing. Because, like I said before, how do you get anybody to do what you want them to do? Take away what means the most to them. Take away their freedom. Take away their independence, their sense of self, their humanity. Take away their dignity until they're reduced to nothing. I mean, when I tell you this series is so deep, I mean, I'm excited to just watch the entire thing. Right now, I'm currently going on to episode 2, but definitely stay tuned because I will be talking about this very, very soon. Episode 2 and breaking down everything like that. But always remember, when you're writing a screenplay, especially when you're writing a pilot, make sure that you reveal just enough, but not too much, so that you always have more material for later episodes and for that specific season. But yeah, you guys, with all that being said, this is episode one, season one. Whatever you want to call it, of the Write Script podcast. And I'm your host, Jessica Tanner. Stay tuned for another episode tomorrow where I will be talking about the new Hulu original series, Cruel Summer. Have a good one, guys, and happy writing.